All right, let's pray and just get into what the Lord has for us tonight. Pray with me. Father, we just thank you for your faithfulness to us, Lord. Lord, you are always good to us. And Lord, you are trustworthy. I pray tonight, Lord, that you give us insight into your word, into these spiritual truths. Help us understand, Lord, that we might trust you more. In Jesus' name, amen. You can sing with me. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Amen. What's a good place to be where you trust in the Lord? You know, our human nature, a lot of the time, it's just more comfortable for us in our human nature when we're just depending on ourselves, and too often we tend to rely on our own abilities, our own wisdom or intelligence and intellect, our own strength, or maybe our own fortitude. But how much better it is to trust the Lord. Jeremiah 17 and 7 says, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. It's pretty plain. We're blessed when we really trust him. Trust, Webster's defines it as assured reliance on the character, ability, strength, or truth of someone or something. The biblical word for trust refers to relying upon, depending upon. It is to put confidence in, and it carries with it this connotation of rest. When you really, really trust, you can rest. Sometimes we find ourselves backed in a corner where the only thing that we can do is trust the Lord. Sometimes we choose to trust him even when we're not backed into a corner. But either way, what's important is that we learn to trust him more. Most of us, at least at times, struggle to really depend upon God because, well, again, it's our human nature. We like to feel like we're in control. It just feels safer to know that it depends on me. It's a good feeling, I guess you'd say, to be able to tell ourselves that I know that I can do this on my own. And don't make any mistake about this. This is something all of us have to deal with because all of us feel like we're good at certain things, feel like that we're accomplished at certain things. And maybe we have a history of being successful in certain things. And we can get to the place where we're self-reliant, trusting in ourselves and in our ability rather than really trusting the Lord. But I tell you, it is a false sense of security when we think we've got this. It's much better to trust the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. It has to be with all your heart. Let me tell you why. If it's not with all your heart, you'll end up trying to figure it all out. You'll end up leaning on your own understanding, trying to figure out, well, how's this going to work? I tell you, when you're really trusting God, you trust Him with the how it's going to work. And so it's got to be with all your heart that you're not looking for the answer in the natural, well, how is this going to work out? But instead, you're leaning not on your own understanding, but you're totally leaning on the Lord, trusting Him. Have you ever thought that you had something figured out? You thought you knew how everything was going to work out, how things were going to happen. And then all of a sudden, things took a turn. Y'all are really quiet. But it can happen in your finances. It can happen in your health. It can happen in your marriage. It sure can happen in raising kids. I'm just telling you that sometimes in life, you think you know how things are going and how they're going to go, and all of a sudden, things take a turn. That's why we have to trust Him more. We just have to get to the place where we're not relying on our own understanding anymore, but we're trusting Him with all our heart. Our wisdom falls short. His never does. Our knowledge is so finite. They say that in our world, in our generation, that knowledge is increasing exponentially. It's just exploding. Listen, it doesn't matter how much they learn about the human body, how much they learn about the atom, how much they learn about the universe. It is all a speck to the one who spoke it all into being. He knows everything. And it doesn't matter how smart we think we are, our knowledge is so limited compared to the one that knows everything. He's so worthy and deserving of our trust. See, you acknowledge Him in all your ways, He'll make your paths straight. He'll work things out. He'll set things right. But we have to get to that place where we really are trust in Him and not look into our own strength. Ours is so small. He is so powerful. We just need to learn to trust Him more. Sometimes it's a hard lesson. The Apostle Paul had to rely on the Lord every day because of the great opposition that he faced. And I find myself again tonight, as so often happens, sharing verses of Scripture that just don't fit in with the pop theology of the day. They are nonetheless truth that sets free and will help you to get victory in your life. So we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 through 11. We do not want you to be ignorant. So he's saying there's some things that you need to know. And as I often say, this wasn't recorded as Scripture for them, but for us. We do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our troubles which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Why did this happen? He says, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. You also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. Paul says he is completely trusting the Lord and depending upon him. And he's also depending on others to pray and trust the Lord for him. He's counting on other people to be praying and believing with him. You know why? Because that's where his trust was. His trust was in the Lord. He knew that was the answer. And so he knew how powerful it was for those people to be praying to the one in whom he was trusting. He acknowledged that it was beyond his control, that he couldn't fix it. I'm a fix-it guy, as I know many of you guys are. Maybe you have expertise in one area or another, but it just drives me crazy when I can't fix something. I mean, I'll work an hour on a $3 toy. That's not very good pay, in case you didn't figure that out. I just like to fix things. And it doesn't matter if it's a toy or if it's a relationship, if it's a computer. But there are some things that I can't fix. And there are times in life when not being able to fix it hits really hard. An illness, a financial setback, a falling out in a relationship. And sometimes, on your own, you just can't fix it. And it leaves us in the place where we can choose to trust him totally. Now, our nature, as I said, human nature, is many times to be independent. We tend to rely on our own strength and resources. But you see, sometimes the Lord allows us to get in a place like the Apostle Paul did here, where there's hardship, because he wants us to trust him. You know, if everything is always just rolling our direction and we're just having success at every hand without really trusting in the Lord, what happens is we get prideful and we learn to trust him less. Sometimes it is through the difficulties that we find just how trustworthy he is. And that's what happened to the Apostle Paul here. Hardship. Him and his companions went through, and they had to rely on the Lord. They said the sentence of death was upon us. Do you think it could happen in your life where there's a set of circumstances that there's just no way that you can handle it, but God can? Of course, most of you, you've had those things happen again and again, and you know. And I'm telling you, we just need to learn to trust him more. You know, the Apostle Paul didn't hide his struggle. He admits openly his despair. He says, we despaired even of life. They were at the end of their rope. I think it's really important that we see and understand that even great men of God sometimes have things happen that are too much for them. They just have to rely on God. Well, Jehoshaphat was a good example of that. Time to seek the Lord. Time to rely on God. He's always faithful. The Phillips paraphrase of verse 8 says this: at that time, we were completely overwhelmed. The burden was more than we could bear. In fact, we told ourselves that this was the end. You ever had one of those where you said, it's over, it's too late, there's nothing that can be done? Oh, I'm telling you, we serve a God who can do anything. He can even raise the dead. Matthew Henry wrote this. He said, God often brings his people into great straits that they may apprehend their own insufficiency to help themselves and may be induced to place their trust and their hope in his all-sufficiency. Our extremity is God's opportunity. God's raising the dead is proof of his almighty power that he can do this, that he that can do this can do anything, can do all things, and is worthy to be trusted in at all times. Oh, for grace to trust him more. See, whatever we're facing, I'm telling you, whatever you're facing, you need to rely on God. It is not hard for the one that raises the dead. We turn things over to the Lord. We can't do it ourselves. But all too often we forget. And once we've moved on past that battle, that situation, too often we go back to our self-sufficiency rather than relying on God, who is all-sufficient. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. He says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Earthen vessels are breakable. They can be crushed. They can be broken. They're weak. And he says, we have this excellence of the power in earthen vessels. It's God's power in us. It is not us on our own. We have nothing to boast about except the Lord. Clay pots. Somebody said cracked pots. I don't know about that. But clay pots. We have this treasure, his power in our life. You see, without him, Jesus says, we can do nothing. Pride will always keep you from trusting. If we're going to trust him more, we have to learn to be humble and put away pride. Pride says, I can do it. Trust says, God can do it. We just need to trust him more. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 7 through 10. And when we read through this passage, I know that a lot of people want to focus on the thorn. It don't matter to me what the thorn is. It's a thorn. There's the principles that we need to get. We need to see what's happening here. And by the way, y'all can all go argue about what the thorn is later. But let's get what's really important here. He says, unless I should be exalted above measure. The NIV says, to keep me from becoming conceited. Lest I be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And here's what I want you to really get. Whatever this was that he was going through, here was the Lord's answer. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Oh, if we would just get a hold of that, we would learn to trust him more. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So often we go to the Lord and we say, well, you know, Lord, I'm doing pretty good here, but I could use a little help. No, his strength is made perfect in our weakness. That's when he really shows up, is when we're weak. You see, he's going to get the glory. No flesh is to glory in his presence. He gets all the glory, and he wants us to trust him. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, here's Paul's response to that. Most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. There's a whole lot of boasting that goes on in this world. There's even a whole lot of boasting that goes on in the church and among the people of God about what they can do and about their abilities. And I'm just telling you, Paul said in response to what Jesus told him, my strength is made perfect in weakness. His response to that is, I'm going to boast about my weakness. I'm going to boast about my infirmities. I'm going to boast about the things I can't do. Why? That sounds crazy. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Here's how you get the power of God on your life. God, I can't do it. I'm trusting you. I'm relying on you. I know that you are the only one that can help me. I'm trusting you. Apart from you, I can do nothing. Verse 10, he says, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. Would you just say it? When I'm weak, then I'm strong. Do you really believe it? You see, as a believer, as you're trusting in the Lord, when you're weak, then I'm strong. That's when you're strong. This is how you learn to trust him more. Trust him more, you got to know that you're weak, but he's strong. Now you see, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. It's when you acknowledge that it's not you, it's him. And the scripture in another place says, let the weak say, I am strong. But we're not talking about in our own self, our own abilities. We're talking about because God is helping us. For when I am weak, then I am strong. See, we like to think that we are strong in certain areas. We're strong when we're strong. No. We're strong when we're weak because we're relying upon him. I have to tell you, I'm not going to take the time, and I'm not going to be humble enough to tell you tonight all the instances, but over the last 40 years of being a Christian, I have learned over and over and over again that some of the things that I thought that I was good at, I wasn't any good at all. It's amazing how we learn those lessons, how much we need God, how much we need his help day by day. But we like to talk about our strengths. Paul learned to boast about his weakness so the power of Christ could rest on him. See, when we're weak and we know it, we trust him. And when that happens, then we're made strong. Our weakness is not a problem for God's power. Our pride gets in the way. See, your weakness is not going to get in the way of God moving in your life. Your pride will. In fact, your pride can destroy. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. If there's any pride in us, we're relying on our own strengths, and we need to learn to trust Him more. So what weaknesses do you have? What areas are you really successful in? What areas do you wish you could do better in? Are you totally relying on God in those areas? Remember, it's when you boast in your weakness that Christ's power rests on you. In those weaknesses, you trust in the Lord. Here's where it gets really tough. What about those areas that we consider to be our strength? Can we rely on God in those areas? Can we really trust Him? Even though maybe in the natural we might have cause to think, well, I'm good at that. It seems that the areas we think we can do by ourselves eventually come apart to bring us to the place where we learn to trust Him more. We should always be dependent on Him and never be self-sufficient. We walk by faith. So much power is available to those that trust Him, those that rely on Him. Listen, those who pray. See, that's how we turn it over to Him. That's the first evidence that you're trusting God, is that you're asking, you're praying, you're looking to God in prayer. That's how His power works in our lives, as we pray in faith and He moves. Trust is relying upon the character of another. Surely the Lord is absolutely trustworthy, and yet so often we just struggle to trust Him. Trust Him as a last resort. I hope that in those areas of your life where you're struggling, you have a battle, and it's the last resort. Yes, trust Him. Yes, trust Him. But learn to trust Him more. Learn to trust Him even in those areas where maybe you feel like you've got it together. To walk by faith and not by sight. You know, sometimes we put more trust in the temporal things, the things that we see with the natural eye, than we do in the Lord. I mean, if things seem to be working out and falling into place, we hear a good report, we just kind of go, oh, good. How about if we just get to the place where we just trust God in spite of the way things look, in spite of the circumstances, even if there's the sentence of death upon ourselves, and we can just go, I'm trusting You, Lord. Oh. See, we put our trust in the wrong things sometimes. Even when it looks really bad, we can trust Him. Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. I'm telling you, the Lord always has our good in mind. He is trustworthy. He's working it together for our good. We sang a song tonight about this, Psalm 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Here's the second half of that verse. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. You see, this is how you taste and see that the Lord is good. You trust Him. See, if you trust in Him, you're going to find out how good He is. And the more that you trust Him, the more you will find out again and again and again that he's good. This is how you taste and see. You trust him. And he will show you how good he is. And we'll never really know just how good he is if we don't trust him. I think one of the reasons we have a hard time trusting God is that, you know, well, we're worried about the outcome. And somehow we think that our striving and our worry is going to make a difference, when in fact it is God who makes the difference, and prayer makes the difference, because we're turning it over to him. We're trusting him with it. And I just want to encourage you that not just about your big battles, but also about every part of your life, every area of your life, you need to be trusting God, and therefore you need to make it a matter of prayer. By the way, I got to get this in. Religious people always say this: God helps those who help themselves. It's not in the Bible. It's not even taught in the Bible. Let me tell you what is in the Bible again and again and again and again. God helps those who pray in faith. God helps those who trust him. Now, I understand the sentiment, the idea that sometimes there are things that we need to do, things that we need to, listen, be obedient to God and do. It's not really trusting God when you refuse to obey God. The old song, the other old song is trust and obey. There's no other way. I'm just telling you, see, some people want to say they believe God and they're trusting God, but they don't even trust him enough to obey him. Yes, there are things that we're supposed to do, but it is not God helps those who help themselves. No, he helps those who pray and believe. That's what the Bible teaches over and over and over again. Psalm 37 and 40, listen to this. It says, "And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him." See, the problem with that attitude that he helps those who help themselves is too much emphasis on us, too much pride involved. Well, God helped me because I did this and I did that. Trust him. Humbly trust the Lord. Yes, let him lead and guide your footsteps. Obey the Lord, but you give him all the glory. You trust him. You know, we should always depend on the Lord first. See, then we'll do the right things. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your paths. See, if you start off trusting the Lord, you're praying, you're looking to him, you're not thinking, oh, I got this, oh, this is my regular routine, I do this every day, I know what I'm doing. Instead, you start off, you're saying, Lord, I'm looking to you, I'm trusting you in this. Then he'll direct your paths. He's going to see to it that you come out in victory, that you win whatever you go through. You're going to win. Listen, start with prayer, trusting him. When we start with do first, not only can we get ourselves in trouble, but here's what's worse than that. When we succeed, we think we did something. And the temptation for pride is so great. But when we start with prayer, asking for God's help, Then when we succeed, we give him the praise and we're humble and thankful. Raising children. The Lord has really blessed me with my children. But I got to tell you, there have been times when I had to say, God, I humble myself. I don't know what I was doing. I made too many mistakes. I need your help. I'm telling you, there may be things that you think you're good at, think you got it. Oh, how we need to learn to trust him more. Being a good husband or wife, handling your finances, your business, or whatever you do in ministry, the best way to live is trusting the Lord. And the best way to live out trusting the Lord is to pray, to be a man, a woman of prayer. Sometimes we don't pray either because we think God won't answer, he won't help us, or we don't think we need his help. Neither is a good option. So we pray because he will help, and we do need his help. Even in the areas where we think we're strong, we need to pray and trust God, realize our dependence upon him. Sometimes ministers and worship leaders can even get to the place where they know what to do. Some of them are very naturally gifted. I didn't say anointed. I didn't say supernaturally gifted. I'm saying naturally gifted. They know what to do. But you see, for all of us, there can be that temptation where, well, we know what to do. We know how to get this done. But I'm telling you that apart from the Lord, we can do nothing. That's what Jesus said in John 15. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, I always like to clarify, we can all do a whole lot of things without Jesus. People do it every day in our world. But he's talking about fruit that remains. He's talking about your life making a difference in the kingdom and in eternity. There ain't nothing you can do that's worthwhile apart from Jesus. Nothing. Nothing. I suppose it depends on how you want to classify being a good father or being a good husband. In the eyes of the world, is a different standard. But if you're talking about an eternity's view, in the kingdom, you can't be a good father apart from Jesus. You can't be a good husband apart from Jesus. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And so when we really understand that, then we're going to trust him. We're going to pray and ask him for his help every single day. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's where we acknowledge that he is sovereign, almighty God, and we are not. You know, the Lord's Prayer itself, well, it's been turned into just a religious thing that people say, but it's so much more than that. In that prayer, it's full of request. Jesus taught us to pray every day, trusting our Heavenly Father. Give us this day our daily bread, that daily we are trusting him for provision, for our needs to be met. Forgive us as we forgive others, that we're trusting him for forgiveness of our sins. Every day that we're believing him to deliver us from evil, trusting in him. You see, Jesus taught that so that we would learn that every day in prayer, we're relying on God, we're trusting him, depending on him. People often say things like, Don't just sit there. Do something. I got a better idea. Don't just do something. Sit there and pray. Pray first. Then you're ready to do. That's what Jehoshaphat did. Philip Yancey says, prayer is a declaration of dependence upon God. That's what we need. Pray every day, depending on Him, trusting Him. I read a story about a pastor. He's actually a campus chaplain at a college. But he tells a story about when he pastored a church and he got injured, ruptured a disc, and so he was in the hospital, and for many weeks his pain was so bad that he had to stay in bed, and he was on medication and things, and he was really, really bored. And so he got his church directory back in those days, right? And he started just going down the directory. Since he couldn't pastor the way he was normally accustomed to, he just prayed for the people. And near the end of this time, when he was getting well and he was going to be able to go back to work, he told the Lord one day, he said, Lord, this has been so wonderful to be able to spend this time with you and pray like this every day. And he said the Lord just stopped him and told him, you have the same 24 hours in every day, all the time. He said, the problem is that when you're sick, you know you're not in charge. But when you're well, you think you are. I'm telling you, we all need the Lord's help every day. And we get that by praying. That's how we show that we're trusting in Him. Psalm 62 and 8. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Amen. I'm so glad I've learned to trust Him. Precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that Thou art with me, will be with me till the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Amen. Stand with me. Father, we just thank You that You are so trustworthy. Forgive us, Lord, for the times that we have trusted in ourselves. I pray, Father, that You would just stir our hearts tonight to seek You in prayer, to seek Your help and Your blessing every day of our life. Lord, may we live humbly. May we walk humbly before our God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Lord, bless you.